Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And good morning. Welcome to this edition of The Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in studio welcoming, of course, your real estate questions, either by phone or by text. Before we say hi, let me give you the phone number and the text numbers if you don't know. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. You guys have a good week?
Yes, we saw it last. Yes, we did.
You know, we determined on the way over here, there's never going to be another March 3rd, 2018. So we're going to make it count today.
Okay.
That was my motivational speech for Andy.
I just still keep laughing because we're sitting here. I walk in and on the top of his stack of notes, he's got RuneFest. He's got his own festival. Oh, my God, Chris.
July 28th, if you want to come.
All right.
RuneFest.
I like that. Kind of like his version of Woodstock.
Oh, man.
You know what? It is.
Is it like that?
I did this like 10 years ago, and it's exactly what I was kind of patterning it after. So, but it's an all-day kind of client appreciation, friends, family. Event, okay. So we're going to have a few people.
Colleagues?
It's the end of July.
Danny, are we going to show up, you and I, buddy?
I think so, if we get the invite.
Yeah. A couple cannonballs in the pool.
Yeah. I'm not going to send it to you now, that I showed it to you.
He's got hurt feelings.
I just can't stop smiling. I think it's awesome, though, that'll work out for you and your clients. That's cool.
Looks like fun.
Yeah, it does.
All right, back to work, though. What happened this week in real estate? Is it the same as it's been here the last few weeks?
Moving.
It is moving.
It's moving. It's getting really good.
That's good.
We're right in the middle of spring preview. Mm-hmm. There's getting good traffic. I actually went out on Thursday to a few homes kind of south of the river. And, there was people out. You know, typically on those Thursdays and Fridays, as you know, Andy, that 12 to 6 time frame is typically pretty slow. And then the weekends pick up. But, boy, we were running into people left and right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I was actually out in Las Vegas. We had the RE/MAX International has their R4 convention, and they get us all together, you know, once or twice a year, I think it is, and they kind of go over things. So we were hitting some higher level stuff, which was encouraging listening to some of these economists and some of the speakers talking about how they're forecasting the next couple of years here to look very good in the real estate sector, in the sense that it'll keep moving. They see positive numbers happening. And now as a buyer, they were saying it may be a source of frustration and that there's a huge demand for new construction to step up and fulfill a lot of that lack of inventory. But there was – there's a magic combination there because the construction that's needed is almost unattainable because of the costs. And so they were talking about having different programs and getting different things put together that'll get – housing into a more affordable bucket for those that are looking for affordable housing, you know, under $300,000, and which sounds crazy to say, but that used to be the luxury market when I started.
Totally. And I think that what's also kind of interesting is with the interest rates rising, you know, around 4.625%, jumbo loans, so non-conforming jumbo loans, mm-hmm. are at 4.25%.
Yeah.
So they're a lot better interest rates. So buying a bigger home, it's time.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
It's time, you know.
And so well, I know that a lot of our new construction is easily into the 400, 500, 600. Some of them, you know, 700, 800,000, and they love the jumbo products because they're getting better rates. They're getting better. I mean, there's a lot of advantages, and what happens is those investors are putting out products that they actually try to make attractive because they're looking for certain, you know, pockets of the economy that they want to capture, and that right now is where they seem to be focusing. We were talking with Travis Whitford last week, and he was saying how interest rates were. You know, the gap between the 15-year and the 30-year keeps getting closer and closer and closer because there's no need to offer the product. They don't need to. So interesting stuff happening.
Yeah, but there's still some good programs out there too. Like say if you wanted to buy a home, a bigger home, and finance over the conforming rates, you know, there's products out there that like it can be fixed for 5 years. Well, you know, we see people moving. Obviously, it's usually before that. It used to be like 7 years, but I'll tell you, I mean, there's some people that stay for a super long time, but there's also the movers. I mean, my wife and I have been married, 25 years, and we've moved 19 times.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
He's been asked to move himself out of those communities. But
it was me moving in and out. But anyway.
I think it has something to do with RuneFest. Yeah.
So move 20 is coming.
The for sale sign goes right with the invites, right?
Absolutely.
Oh,
see, God. That's the real thing. So I've got a house that I own in Prior Lake, and then so the renter's going to leave July 1st. We're going to have the party July 28th, and we're going to sell it. So I'm really trying to just market it as we're at the party. So, Danny, if you're interested.
I'll be at the party.
Get on south of the river.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, the market's moving. I mean, we just put a real nice listing on, $1.5 million, and already had three showings
on.
Yeah. You know, so
I put one on down last week. We got one down in Indian Hills, down in Edina, that was getting a lot of attention quick, too.
Great you area, know, too.
Well, oh, my God. It's fantastic. It's like a fairy tale over there. The beautiful location.
I saw that.
Yeah. Thank you.
No,
yeah. I didn't say you liked it, but thank you.
No. I was looking at the pictures, as a matter of fact. Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
And it was about 3,800 square feet or something like that.
Yeah. Nice pool. Well, you know, and the thing is that coming in the spring here, they've got a beautiful pool on a pond, and it's a perfect setup for kids, and, you know, it's a neat setup. But that area is interesting. Talking about renovation houses and things like that, which we should probably talk about again here coming up, that area is notoriously known for you buy the house, you take it down, and they build something that's spectacular. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the houses over there are just unbelievable. You literally stop the car and go, wow. And it's neat stuff.
Yeah, for you bringing up the renovation house, for people that haven't heard, we're doing a renovation house where we're getting all the subcontractors to donate their labor. Andy and I are donating our services, and we're going to put that money to charity, but we're going to follow it here on the radio show.
Yeah.
So next week, we're actually finalizing our design plans, and then we've got a videographer that's going to follow it, and we're going to just go through the whole radio thing, and then when like each week, as someone's in there doing a project, we're going to talk to them. So maybe it's the tile guy. We'll talk about different things with tile and, you know, things that you can do. So it'll be fun.
Well, yeah, and reach out to the show, too, if you're interested in helping with the volunteering. All the profits are going to go to some charities here, too. So we're going to do we're looking for skilled labor. We're looking for people that would be willing to volunteer their time as well, especially talented people with the cameras, the videos, the whatever. That's kind of the fun stuff.
Yeah, speaking of the tile guy, we do need a tile guy, by the way.
I thought that was you. Yeah,
I'm supposed to be that guy, but no.
Well, you just reach out. You just make more mentions on the radio show, and you're going to find somebody.
Well, I guarantee you somebody listening does.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Highmark Builders is going to be the contractor, and so they're kind of taking the lead on that.
Okay.
So it's going to be great.
651-989-9226 is our phone number if you want to call in your real estate question, or send a text like some folks are doing, 81807. One came in, says this, do Andy and Chris attend the closings or an office staff member?
That's a
loaded question.
That's payday, remember. No. But at the closing, obviously, that's when everyone goes and signs their paper. I think what's interesting about that is Minnesota is really different than almost every other state in that everyone, the buyers and the sellers and everyone are in the same room. And they're going over their documents and everyone's signing at the same time. And typically it's like held in escrow. You go in and just sign it. And then a certain date, you just move in. And so so they're talking about realtors going to closings.
Well, I think it's critical because I think that's kind of the pinnacle of stress for a lot of the sellers or the buyer. They literally are looking for the, you know, money exchange where the bank walks in with the bag of money and hands it to the new, you know, or the seller, and the new buyer gets to move in. And it's all done in paper, of course, but it's still the symbolism of handing the keys over and having that exchange. And I think it's important to be part of that journey. I know with new construction, sometimes the closing actually with construction loans actually happens on the front end, and then there's draws as you go. So sometimes that's a little bit more of a ceremony, if you will, at the end where we don't have a true closing, but the closing is actually on the front end of the loan. Yeah. And then
Hopefully you don't have issues, but sometimes there's issues that arise at the closing. We've talked about that final walkthrough, you know, and if your agent doesn't show up, you know, I mean, you got to have someone that's representing you. Hopefully we don't have those problems and we've taken care of those all ahead of time. But so I think it's important.
If your agent doesn't have the ability to make that meeting, if they have someone else that's a trusted staff member or somebody that knows how to get action to situations, I think it's okay as well. But ultimately, that is, I think, the hand-holding part of the process. That's what we should be doing, yes.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to – I know we got to go to a break, but we're going to do some well and septic talk. And then we're going to answer some of the old text questions because we never get to them all.
Never get to
and
them all.
So I put a couple, but
that's good.
One is about time of sale inspections. There's a bunch of cities that do that. And so just to kind of let people know which cities those are.
Very good. Let's take this break. Be right back again, inviting our listeners to join in. If you have a real estate question, call us, 651-989-9226. or send a text, 81807. In the Twin Cities, 38 degrees, going to near 50 today. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show here on A3OWCCO. Chris and Andy in studio welcoming your questions, your real estate questions, at 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. What did you say we're going to talk about now? Septic systems.
That's a good question.
Among other things. Yeah, I don't think we've ever covered that topic.
Septic
before.
Systems?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and then obviously...
That's where you're supposed to say it's a crappy topic or something, right? Sorry, I'm very professional today. Let's go.
Okay.
Remember, March 3rd, we're never going to have this over.
That's why I'm doing this.
All right. Good. We're going to talk about time of sale reports and then well and septic systems and just the kind of the nuances of them. We had Bon well drilling in our company the other day, and they do a lot of septic mound drain field installation, septic systems, and they also install wells, but they also do the testing that we need. Because, I mean, when you have typically what happens, I mean, some counties are different. There's some that require at the time of sale that you have to have, that tested. But compliance, then a lot of times the lenders ask for it or a buyer just asks for it from the seller.
Yep.
And so making sure that your septic system is in play. You know, we've talked a lot about, we have talked about this. But it's kind of like, you know, people that have a septic system that's not working or that's not in compliance. And I mean, it's going to cost you, you know, $15,000 to $25,000 in which to be able to do a new system.
Well, let me ask you this quick. As long as you're talking, I mean, what is the variation on the pricing? I mean, does it, you know,
it's the type of system that you're going to do.
Right.
So there's a thing called a mound system, which a mound system is probably the most expensive. And those are typically done because of there's clay in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to bring in a bunch of sand to be able to kind of move everything around. And, So it just depends. I mean, then if you have a normal drain field, I mean, that could be a lot less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I thought what was kind of interesting is that when you, I mean, I don't know how long this has been happening for, but you have to have a primary and an alternative septic site. And what's interesting is that if your system goes out, what we learned, this was interesting. I thought, hey, just redo the system, you know, kind of where it's sitting, you know, and redo it. And you can't do that. You have to do it on the alternative site because that soil then is bad. And so
Often do you guys run into a place that doesn't have city sewer and water? I mean, is this pretty common?
On acreage properties, it happens a lot.
Yeah,
so
sure,
in Credit River, I saw a lot of those
that
we're dealing with septics and wells all the time. But in the city, there's still a lot of wells left. And what people have done is as long as they're operable, you know, they typically hook them up to the outside water spigots and use that so they can get around the watering bands.
Most people do the air for irrigation. They'll do a sand point, you know, down 50, 75 feet, and they have the like I said, you get around the watering bands for sure.
So. Yeah, and if your well's not usable, you have to seal it. And it's got to be done by a professional, and then it's got to be recorded with the Department of Health. And it's interesting because they don't have some of those records. Where I've ran into that is that, hey, no, we know we sealed it. You know, we did it. Well, if it's not with the state and on there, you got to go, you got to locate it and find it and then verify that it's done right. And sometimes they have to dig out the old stuff because what people will do is they'll just, you know, fill it with sand, and that's not how you do it. You know, so it's
well.
It's
there's reporting issues there too, right, Chris? I mean, with disclosure. I mean, even if you bought a house, it's an old farmhouse that's been there for hundreds of years, and there was six different spots that they've tapped the wells, and nobody else in the world knows about it. Now that's a disclosure issue, big time. You know, and you have to make sure to properly address that.
You got
to
bring those sticks. Mm-hmm. You ever seen them do that to be able to find the water?
Yeah, at RuneFest, I think they were doing that.
We have it at RuneFest going on. Yeah. Let's just take a call.
Yeah, like a divining
rod?
He's
not cooperating very well.
Are you talking about a divining rod?
That's
what it is. Everybody's walking around with sticks.
Hey, I saw that on like HGTV, and this guy was doing it, and they're on top of a hill, and he went around, boom, he nailed it right away.
Good.
It's crazy.
Wow.
So anyways, we got to get some divine rods for RuneFest.
Strange but true. Can we go to the phones? Let's do this.
Please.
Ellen is calling from Dassel with a question. Go ahead, Ellen. Thank you.
Hi. Do you still have the nosy neighbor button?
Yes,
do. What do you really call that? Good question, Ellen.
We do. What we do, though, is we have it on each of our individual websites, so at chrisrooney.com and then prasky.com. So depends whose face you want to see.
For new listeners, what does that mean?
Well, you know what it is, and Ellen, I appreciate you bringing that up because it's a fun tool. It's, you know, if you've ever thought about, you know, or you're just curious what's happening in your neighborhood, so this report actually comes out via email, And then you'll actually see everything that's selling around you. So you can just kind of keep your thumb on what's happening. But it's also nice is that you're curious, hey, what did the house up the street list for? That report also will send out anything that lists in your neighborhood. And so you just kind of keep your thumb on what's happening, hence the nosy neighbor nickname we gave it. But it's a free thing that we've done for, geez, for 8 years on the show here. And it, I mean, we have, I think 9,000 people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or every month, I should say.
Yeah, it's like 9,000 listeners that are out there that get it every month. Yep. So it's a big, big fun free resource. So
Check it out. We'll mention the websites of our guys here before they take their leave. 651, thanks, Ellen. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. You know, let's do this. We have another half hour of the show to go. Let's take a break right now. Partly cloudy and breezy. The winds right now are southeast at 23, 38 degrees. A look at that forecast is coming up.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show here on A3OWCCO. 38 degrees, as we said, here in the Twin Cities. And we welcome your calls, your text messages as well, with any kind of real estate question. We're getting a bunch of different text messages.
Yeah, we are.
Quick, Denny.
Yeah.
The guy's putting up posters around the studio right now for RuneFest, and I had to post it on our Facebook page.
Who's going to be there?
I don't know.
Sounds like a lot of people.
A lot of Roonies.
Like Willie Nelson? Is he going
to
be
Will, in? Yeah. And yeah. It's on Facebook. You go to Real Estate Radio Hour, 830-WCCO, and you can see the picture.
Actually, I was at Spare Key Gala this last weekend, cool. Johnny Holmband was there.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Johnny?
Sure.
Oh, God, he's the best. And I look at their account. I said, he's coming to RuneFest. He's going to play at RuneFest. And
does
so he's like,
he
yeah, yeah, we're gonna, yeah, we'll do it, no problem. I call up his manager and just go, no, we already got a gig. So he's not going to be at RuneFest.
And who are you again?
Oh, he knows me. Oh, okay. Really good. Yeah.
All right. What do you think we can do? You see one there? You want to grab? Here's one. Let's do this. Do real estate agents need to be bonded? What if we found out ours had a record involving misuse of real estate funds back 12 years ago? He was shady and lied to us on a number of things. Still owes the well inspector money from our transaction.
Hate to hear that. But we have insurance. Mm-hmm. It's called errors and omissions insurance that we're covered by. But that's kind of a thing. I'm surprised because, I mean, typically that kind of person would probably get their license taken away.
The Department of Commerce would be the ones that would probably not like that person to have a license.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
651-989-9226 if you want to call in your question or, again, send a text, 81807.
I think we should see how smart Andy is on that one.
God.
Because I don't know the answer.
How accurate are the three types of radon testers? The short-term, the long-term tester, and the continuous meter type. I'm willing to pay the extra money for the meter type, but could not find info on the accuracy for them.
I actually can help you, Andy, if you need it.
Okay, let me give it a roll here. What I always say is this, is that the radon tests are accurate if there's not disturbances. And I think that your radon test is only as good as the readings that you're getting. If there's disturbances in the house, depending on the test, all tests have different, you know, styles of reporting and need different requirements of, you know, maybe the house has to sit quiet or, you know, some of the tests don't require that anymore. So follow the instructions on the reports. If you find something or the results, if the results come back, you find something and you are questioning it, you second guess it with another, you know, style of test. More money doesn't always necessarily mean better. Mm-hmm.
But longer probably means better.
Longer.
And I think, you know, and there's a lot of things that affect those tests, like exterior weather will affect that test. You know, whether or not people are opening windows and letting stuff in, if it's vacant, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think with the radon thing is that there's a lot of people, there's people on both sides of the equation. It's hocus pocus. It's a bunch of junk. You know, we've had it. We've always had it. Not other people. It's the second cause of lung cancer. You know, so. But I think the one thing is that the longer the test can go, but it should be how we're living too. You know, you're going in and out of something, and you test it completely vacant. I mean, that you're going to have a problem. It's going to be high. We had one like that, and it tested at like 35. And then, you know, after it was lived in just a little bit, then it went down to 8. And then we were able to put the system in. But they can, I mean, how you get radon down, you know, people worried about that. But all it does is you get a bigger fan. And so it just draws it out more. And that's what they typically do.
Their
or
side
add
effects.
A second system.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, are there side effects? We've had houses where they are new, brand new houses that were model homes that just for fun, they threw the radon test in there and they had the passive radon mitigation system in there and they still tested in the sixes. So you're right, Chris, that you have to constantly check that. If that's something that's a concern to you, you need to constantly check it just like anything else that's important and make sure to maintain it. And things do change. There's, you know, the house next door gets built and all of a sudden the soil conditions are different. There's hydrology happening there. You can be pushing the gases around under the ground. You never know. And all of a sudden you have, you know, your septic system being – or your you got septic on the mind. The drain tile system also can become active because of somebody building next to you. And I'm sure there's a million people listening that have said, yep, that's what happened to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So things change.
You know, bringing back that whole well and septic thing, people are wondering what are the costs of those tests. Mm-hmm. And water tests, it just depends. I mean, you got to remember when you're selling your house, there's certain types of financing like FHA or VA that require a little more detailed test. So you're talking anywhere from, you know, you can certainly do it yourself. FHA and VA won't do that. They want it from a licensed person. Mm-hmm. But anywhere from $125 to $250 for the water test. And that's not making sure that the well is working. That's just testing the water. And then from a septic compliance thing, it's anywhere from $425 to probably $550. And if you have to do it in the winter, because they have to get into that soil, you might have freeze charges as well. So so people know that.
All right,
let's hit this one. Let's see if Andy, let's see what he's going to say on this one. Have a goal of buying a vacation home. And they found a lot for sale on the North Shore near Tofty for $80,000. And they also found a few cabins near Grand Marais for $200,000. And they found townhome listings on Bay Lake for $170,000. What do you think would be the best ones to pursue?
You know, and being that I'm not the local expert, first thing I would do is I'd hire the local professional that specializes in that area and use their expertise. I would say, though, you know, what's fun is that cabins, for an example, on the North Shore, I know a couple families that I know that actually have cabins there. But they're buying the cabin to look at the lake and have the tranquility of being there. They're not boating. They're not, you know, keeping a dock. And then the kids aren't out in the lake is cold, right? So it's a different kind of lake experience. On Bay Lake, I'm not sure where Bay Lake is, but I'm assuming it's a recreational lake. Is that, you know, Chris?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But that's a whole different lifestyle. That's where you're up there, you're recreating, you've got boats, you probably have kids jumping off the dock swimming. There's, you know, bonfires by the beach, but, you know, or whatever. You could do that, at the other place too. But just different
you know, it's experience. When you say that too, I think it is a lifestyle, and it's what kind of lifestyle that you want. And like you said, there's a recreational type. I mean, we want boats, we want water skiing, we want to do all that kind of stuff. And then there's a tranquil setting. You know, I just love looking at the water, and there's ducks, and you know, and so you're kind of basing on that. Typically, the tranquil setting is going to be less expensive,
right?
To be able to be on the lake. I mean, because the more recreation and more restaurants and activity are on that lake, the higher the values.
Well, you know, and I had a couple years ago, Denny, they moved right from Champlin on the river. We moved them all the way up to their cabin that they had, or their home actually up on Lake Superior, and artists, both of them, and doing artwork and art teacher. And so they love the tranquility and the opportunities of the nature to, you know, have their inspiration or whatever. And works nice.
My son and fiance are looking to buy a first home, maybe 50 to 60,000 down, first time buyer with 50 to 60 down. Any incentive for first-time home buyers and what to watch out for? Typically, those incentives are borrowing money because most first-time home buyers don't have enough money. So having that kind of money down is going to be an optimum borrower for sure.
Yeah, the benefits of having money down usually outweigh the opportunities for those that don't have the money down. Wouldn't you agree, Chris, with that, with the programs?
Yeah.
I mean, most of the programs are decent, but they usually have to be paid back or they have some kind of a consequence if they are sold earlier. And so, I mean, there's really no free lunch out there. I mean, today there used to be a few years ago when there was, you know, the crisis on our laps, but it's a little different now.
There's a text that just came in. Is it common for a realtor to let you overprice your property just to get the listing?
That's a nice question. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, it's happened. I mean, it happens and people get your listing. They tell you what you want to hear to get your listing. But I'll tell you the other thing is, too, is ultimately, like when I go in and talk to people, my whole thing is, you know what? I've got to tell you the facts. And here's what the truth is. And here's where I think it is. But ultimately, they're the boss and they have to make that decision. So sometimes it's, hey, you know what? There might be a plan involved. You know, I think it's we've had plans before where we've listed high let it on for a month or two, then took it off and put it on the market at like a kind of a still above price, and people thought it was an amazing deal. So there's marketing involved.
Well,
in
and here's the good side of that, Denny. You get into a situation where you have a property that's, let's say that it's considered overpriced, but by who? And why are they saying it's overpriced? Because if you compare, you know, 2,800 square foot Rambler side by side, and everybody's at 430, and you list at 430, and people keep telling you you're overpriced, it's confusing to the seller. And they're like, well, why are they saying I'm overpriced? Because the neighbor sold for the exact same price, and I'm actually maybe even 5,000 less just to try to get ours sold. The problem is you could have people coming through that house, and actually they're the things that we maybe don't notice, like maybe there's a combination of things that make the house perceived to be dated, even though it's not.
No, okay.
Could be in perfect condition, for example, but there's just a hint of perception that we're going to have to spend some money on getting this house up to speed the way we want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, sometimes an ounce of prevention is worth thousands of dollars out of your pocket down the road. You know, getting that house staged on the front end, having somebody that has that eye walk through that house and say, yep, you guys are right on, you know, right on course here. You're going to do great. Or, hey, let's pull this down. Let's replace this hardware real quick. Not a big deal. A couple hundred dollars worth of repairs. And then it'll give a whole different vibe to the house. And then you'll have completely different results. It's amazing.
And that's the thing, though. I mean, as a realtor, what we have to – if we don't tell them now, we got to tell them 6 months later, and they're in a horrible position at that time. So sometimes you tell them, and it's like, oh, Rooney, you're a loser. I hate you, you know, mm-hmm. but it's better to hate me now than to hate me after 6 months, and it just cost you 100 grand.
I've actually had listings where I don't get the listing because I'm being honest. And the thing is that, you know, what are you paying me for anyway then? If you don't want me to come in there, I've been doing this almost 20 years. Chris, you've been doing it for 50-something years. And
RoomFest 2018 is like year 70, I think.
It's our 70th year. Yeah. Sorry. And, you know, what happens is that there's experience behind our you know, statements that we're making. And the thing is that there's literally hundreds of houses that have been sold. And all we have is more experience than you. You could be smarter than us, and you need to take that information, like Chris said, and make a good decision for you and your family. But ultimately, if the realtor sitting across the table from you is saying, you're going to miss the market, you're going to be too high, and then you get a second opinion. If the second opinion agrees with it, you're shooting too high. And sometimes people will get three opinions, and they'll have three different real estate agents out there. And the saddest thing I ever see, Denny, is when I don't get a listing and they hire the inexperienced agent that will list it higher. Mm. And then they make that critical mistake, and then they end up calling us 6 months down the road after they've paid all that interest. They've already moved out of the house, transferred, whatever. And it happens all the time in our business.
Wow. All right, I know. Tell you what, let's do this. We have to break, but there are more text messages that have just come in. If you have a real estate question, you want to send a text, 81807, or give us a call, 651-989-9226. Partly cloudy, breezy. CCO temperature reading 38. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of the Real Estate Show here on CCO Radio. Chris and Andy in studio answering your real estate questions by phone and by text. Getting a lot of text messages this morning. Let's see if we can't field the rest of them. Somebody is currently waiting, it says here, for Prasky and Rooney's acting debuts in a realtor biopic. That's one question. But the other one is do some people charge for open houses? I don't think we've had that question before.
I've never had that question. You charge?
What's the biopic or the charging for open houses?
I don't know. I
think sometimes people will do kind of maybe a lower commission, and then just start charging a la carte for everything and saying, hey, if I do an open house, you got to give me $200 in which to be able to do it. So
there are a la carte companies out there for sure, Chris. Yep. You know that they do the old for sale by owner kind of concept, and then you do probably have to pay for every sheet of paper they print versus when you hire a real estate agent in the traditional manner, we pay for everything and it's on our dime and not yours. And so
we were approached on a show one time to go on TV. But
tell me
something
about
the lens or something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But anyways, what happens if Zillow said my value is $50,000 lower than the listing price?
Wow.
Well, Zillow's always right. So.
Reason 76 why I hate Zillow.
Hey, that's not true.
I don't.
You like Zillow? Yeah. No, you like Zillow. But it's so up in the air. I mean, we talk about appraised value, assessed value, and market value.
Well,
let me
ask you a question. How does Zillow make money, Chris? Even though they don't really make money because they keep showing losses, but what is the concept of Zillow? What do they exist for? The owners of Zillow to get leads to sell to who?
For the realtors.
To sell to real estate agents. Yep. So you as a consumer go to Zillow. They get all these big endorsements. They have everybody buffaloed thinking you go here for free information, and all they're trying to do is get you to sign up so they can sell your name to a real estate agent.
Is that it?
And when those real estate agents' faces pop up, guess what? They pay to be there. They're not there because they're good. They're there because they got the most money. I struggle with that, you guys, because the perception is that we go to Zillow to get the truth.
What? I can't tell you're struggling with this.
I'm over here sweating, dude. Come on. I get these. Those. I hate perception of value when it's not there. And it's you read the disclaimer on the back of the website. It'll tell you that the property values on average vary 14%. So that means 14% low, 14% high. They're off potentially by 28%. That's their average, which means they can do worse. So
it's a gauge. I mean, let's just use it as a gauge.
They use the public feeders, right? And so, and I'm not saying the people that are on Zillow, the agents are not bad. I shouldn't say that because I got a lot of good friends that make nice livings off of Zillow. But that's exactly what it is. It's a tool basically set up for the consumer to you know, be introduced to real estate.
And the thing is the more stats they have, the closer that price will get. So if you're in an area that maybe not many houses are selling, it doesn't have anything to gauge it with.
Right.
And so, you know, but the other thing is if you want to try to get your Zillow as high as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Just make sure all the information in there is correct. So you can go in there as an owner and claim your house and then be able to make sure that all the information is correct.
That's something that we do with every one of our clients, Danny. We actually do an online profile where we actually go online and we manage that from the consumer perspective, meaning the seller. And we have them go in and adjust those on all the different websites. Because if the basement's not being included in their equation or whatever, let's say the county, even though you're paying taxes on it, doesn't have the right square footage. They pull their information off of the county website, and then they actually – that's how they establish that value and a couple other algorithms that they use. But ultimately, they're using public information. So if it's wrong, your value is going to be wrong.
Here's what else happens, though, is – so when you list your house, sometimes all of a sudden a seller will go on there and look at Zillow and says, my gosh, I only have – it says two bathrooms, and I got four. What it does is it takes information and syndicates from different sites, and it populates different. So all of a sudden, Zillow, we've got it listed, and all of a sudden my five-bedroom, five-bath is now five-bedroom – two bath. And so we have to go in there and switch it because it syndicates from a certain website. So
it's nice for entertainment, but here's what I would do, Denny. Just like, you know, we had Ellen earlier from Dassel talking about nosy neighbor. That's going to get you a little closer. That's kind of an entertainment value thing. Zillow's an entertainment value. All the, you know, realtor.com's entertainment value. When you actually want to get down to actually looking at the real MLS, you actually can go to a real estate agent that you trust, ask them to set you up on a search. You can do the exact same thing, and it's coming right off the MLS. There's no games. There's no nothing. And you're getting that accurate information right to you, and there's nobody selling your name. There's nobody, you know, calling you. Nobody's going to bug you.
Prasky.com, ChrisRooney.com. But who's checking?
Here's a texter that says, what is a good area to be looking at these days where there seems to be good value, maybe just a bit out of the metro to get a little more for your buck?
Great question. What do you think on your end?
How far do you have to go?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's just what's happening is that
I'm getting a lot of text.
Anywhere
by the way,
you can find
where inventory.
Well, yeah, but where inventory is kind of high, I think that's, the best way to get the best bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that there's not a lot of inventory. So depending on, you know, what price range this person's talking about, if you get into that upper bracket home, it's amazing what you get.
Yeah.
You know, if you get up and you want to spend $800,000 to $1,000,002, you'd be stunned what you can get. You just sold one.
Well, right. And that seller might be able to afford to take a $200,000 discount versus on a $200,000 house, they can't do that, right? So usually when you think about it this way, when there's sellers competing, the buyer wins, right? So you're out there and there's multiple sellers selling the same split entry, three bedroom, two bath, two car garages. They're all fighting for that same $239,900 buyer, and somebody's going to win. Somebody's eventually going to say, I'm tired, I'm fatigued, I'm going to give them $10,000 off or $5,000 off. And then that starts the slope of a market getting softer. And then the people that don't want to sell should pull off the market. But Chris, you're absolutely right. There's more gravy on the bigger houses if, you know.
Yeah. Totally. So.
There's a text. We were talking about septic systems earlier today. The texter says, we currently have our own septic system, which is not a mound system. We are in sand. We have to get it tested because we want to move this summer. Would we have to put a mound in? Cheryl is asking.
Depends where you're at. So check with your local county and ask them what it is. But it depends where you're at because every county is different and they have different requirements in which to do that. So check with your county and you'll know. But I'll tell you, it's interesting because we have, say, in Scott County, there's septics that fail, but they don't have to be replaced for 10 years. And so you can kind of – you can negotiate that kind of thing rather than replacing the septic system right away, you know, because obviously the buyer is going to get the benefit of that new system and they don't even have to put it in for 10 years. But Bonwell Drilling, when we were talking to them, the one thing is that they said before – I mean, it's been so wet out and they have to have dry ground to be able to do it. And where they were used to be doing like 170 systems installing a year, they're down to like 75 because of the weather.
Oh, yeah.
So you get in close.
Do you have some older text messages we never got to? I know you brought some with you.
I did. Well, we did. I want to talk about time of sale real quick, though.
Okay.
There's certain cities that require that. But I think what's interesting, Andy, is that Brooklyn Park, Crystal, and Osseo all had a time of sale report and got rid of them. So
good.
I don't know if people knew that. Yeah, get rid of them. Exactly. Bloomington, Golden Valley, Hopkins, Maplewood, Minneapolis, New Hope, Richfield, Robbinsdale, St. Louis Park, St. Paul, South St. Paul, and West St. Paul, along with, hopefully I said Minneapolis, but they all have some sort of time of sale report. Minneapolis is one that you have to do it before you can show the house.
Well, explain for 2 seconds. Obviously, we don't have a lot of time left, but why
it's
do they
not really
do them?
An inspection.
Why do they do them?
They're checking on certain things. And so if you Google it and go on it, it'll actually show you. So in Bloomington, they'll show you the kind of the main things that they go after, mm-hmm. you know, and they're just trying to keep, you know, the quality of the homes upgraded. And they're typically older communities, as you can see. And so they just want to make sure that.
Well, and a lot of it was too, the bank owned properties back in the days where it all kind of stemmed from was selling bank owned properties that were literally bulldozer ready that were being sold. And then the new buyer would come in and not do the improvements that would be required. So they were actually kind of, I hate to say the word, you know, bringing the neighborhoods down, but that's what exactly was happening. And so they were requiring these banks to fix these houses up before they'd sell them and then actually adding an asset to the development or the community instead of a detriment. So,
well, I think we got to all the text questions.
I think it's
great when people do that. So thank you.
Yes, thanks a lot for listening. Now, let's for those who missed the websites, how do we get in touch with each of you guys?
Yeah, and that's probably the best way. ChrisRooney.com.
And Prasky.com. Yeah, and remember, go hit the Parade of Homes this weekend, too. It's open,
oh, yeah.
And lots of beautiful houses, over 400 to see.
And if you go to Real Estate Radio Hour, 830-WCCO, you'll find out, too. I'm doing a seminar. You can come. Find out how to get your house ready for sale.
All right.
And learn
you
about RuneFest.
RuneFest. We'll see you back here next week here on 830-WCCO. Partly cloudy, breezy conditions here in the Twin Cities. Heading for 50 right now, 38.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.